Well, praise the Lord. I believe I have a message for you tonight. If you have not achieved all of your goals yet, I got a message for you. If God has put some things in your heart that you haven't accomplished yet, I got a message for you. If you haven't seen the fulfillment of everything that you're believing for, I got a message for you. If you need a breakthrough, if you're in a great struggle, I'm telling you, I got a message for you. If you're fighting the fight of faith, and by the way, we're all supposed to be fighting the fight of faith, amen, I got a message for you. And if you've given up, I got a message for you. Keep rowing. The Christian life is not row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Okay, we're going to do it in sections. I'm just kidding. Learned that from Barney Fife, by the way. But that's not the way the Christian life is. That's maybe the way we want it to be, right? Just all smooth sailing, but that's not the way it is. No, it's more like upstream and against the wind. Amen. Because we have an adversary, and there's a battle. There's a struggle that takes place all the time. I mean, especially if you're trying to do the will of God, you're trying to live for God, trying to do anything for God, there's going to be a battle. It's against the flow. There's a struggle. Because we have an adversary, and he's going to do everything that he can to stop us. The scripture says we have an adversary, the devil. That's what the Bible says. And we really do. I know that in the day and the time that we live in, there's a lot of people that think that the devil is not a real entity, a real person. But he is, according to the scripture. I mean, if you believe the Bible, then you know that we have an adversary. Because it says plainly, we have an adversary, the devil. He can't, listen, if he can't kill us, if he can't destroy us, then he just wants to keep us from fulfilling the purpose of God in our life. He wants to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. He know he loses when we do what God wants us to do. He'll try to discourage you, try to get you in unbelief, try to get you to give up on what you're believing God for. He'll try to sideline you in the work of the Lord where you're just sitting on the sidelines watching. A lot of people there. But if you want to live for God, if you want to do anything for God, if you're believing God for anything, there's going to be a fight. Satan is going to oppose you. It's a fight of faith. And we're going to go to Mark chapter 6, and a little bit later we're going to go to John chapter 6, and we're going to read about the same story, the same event. It's just told a little bit differently in those two Gospels. But Jesus feeds the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And that story is given in both of those places. But then we're going to come to this. This is what happens next. I want you to keep in mind, he just fed 5,000 with 5 little barley loaves and 2 fish. Mark chapter 6, we're going to read 45 through 52. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida. While he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the 4th watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. Here the Lord had just done this great miracle, but because of the hardness of their hearts, they just still didn't really get it. And I want to tell you, that happens a lot where God has done things in our lives, and yet we're shocked when God does something new. We marvel. We didn't expect this. And I just want you to know that our God is a miracle-working God, and he always comes through. He always makes a way. But you'll notice at the beginning of that passage we read, it says that he made the disciples get in the boat. He made them. He told them what to do. Go to the other side. Now, they had just seen him feed the 5,000. They just had this really awesome breakthrough. This miracle happened. Why would they want to leave? And I want to tell you, this is kind of human nature. This is the way we are. We just want to camp out. I mean, I've known some people that, God did something 20 or 30 years ago, and they're still camped out there. Let me tell you something about the Lord. He's always ready for what's next. He's not done, you see. There's more in store with Jesus. And we need to realize that. God's not done. Yeah, we need to celebrate the victories. Yes, we need to always be thankful for what God has done, but we need to be ready for what he wants to do next. And we need to be ready to obey the Lord. See, the disciples get in the boat, and they set out to do what the Lord told them. They're rowing, trying to get to the other side. And you know what? That's what we have to do. Just do what God wants us to do. We just got to obey the Lord. Always. You see, we would rather just have another miracle. But sometimes, you see, actually, most of the time, almost always, it's while we are obeying God. It's while we are doing what we're supposed to be doing that the next miracle comes. Don't miss it. We just need to be sure we're doing what the Lord wants us to do. And if we do that, then everything always turns out right. See, if he tells you to work in the children's ministry, then do it. If he tells you to go talk to your neighbor about the Lord, do it. If he tells you to pray an hour a day, you better do it. If he tells you to keep your kids in church, then you keep your kids in church. If he tells you to give or to tithe, then you better do it. You just got to obey the Lord. Now, you might not have heard an audible voice about what you're supposed to do, but if you are a sincere believer, you know in your heart some things that you are supposed to be doing. Do it. Sometimes it's a struggle. Jesus saw them straining at rowing. And you know what? You see, a lot of the time we're doing the things we're supposed to be doing. It's not always easy. Sometimes we are straining. We're working hard at it. Verse 47 and 48. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone in the land. Then he saw them. See, Jesus saw them at straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Here they are out in the middle of the sea, and it's dark, by the way. The wind is blowing against them. They're not getting anywhere. Can you imagine how they felt? I mean, we're just doing what the Lord Jesus told us to do, and here we are, stuck out here in the middle of the lake, straining, struggling. You know what? I think the prince of the power of the air, by the way, that's another term that's used for Satan in the scripture. The prince of the power of the air. See, a lot of people, they don't really give Satan enough credit in this regard. I hear these preachers saying stuff like, yeah, he's a roaring lion, but he ain't got no teeth. Yes, he does. He devours people. That's why we have to be alert and ready, because he's real. But the enemy will fight against you. I think the prince of the power of the air was working against the disciples, and I know that he works against us. He will work through situations and circumstances. He'll put obstacles in your path. He'll raise up opposition. He'll put a temptation in your way to try to get you off track from what Jesus told you to do. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it feels like we're never going to win. Sometimes we get tired, and sometimes we just want to give up. You got to do what you know to do. Just because the wind is against you and it's hard doesn't mean that you're out of the will of God. See, the pop theology of the day, it makes it sound like, you know, it's just all going to be so easy. No, it's not. There's going to be a struggle. There's going to be times when you just have to keep rowing. You just keep going at it and just keep trying and keep trying, straining at the oars. I'm not going to quit. The Lord told me to do it. I'm going to keep doing it. I want you to understand, when I say something like what I'm about to say, I want to say that it is by the grace of God that I am anything at all. And I got a whole lot of weaknesses and shortcomings. And whatever God uses me to do, it's God. But I'm going to tell you, how did this old preacher boy manage to be in ministry 43 years plus? I just kept going. I just kept rowing. I want to tell you, when we were in the shopping center for so long before we built this building, we just kept rowing. We just kept rowing and kept rowing. See, and it's God that got this building built, and it's God that got it paid off, but we just kept rowing. We just kept rowing. And I just want to encourage you tonight. You see, some of the things that you know you're supposed to be doing, you're like, well, I don't understand how this is going to help. I don't see what a difference this makes. I'm tired. I think I'm just going to not do this anymore. I think I'm just going to sleep in this Sunday. Do we have to go this Sunday? I asked my wife that lots of weeks, and she says yes. We just keep going. We just keep rowing. And Jesus sees us straining against the oars. But we will win if we don't give up. And all of us have those times in our life where it just seems like we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, but the wind is blowing against us. I mean, it just seems like nothing is working. There's this resistance. It's not working. Anybody have some goals that you set at the beginning of the year, you know, 29 days ago? And it seems like you're going nowhere? I need to lose 20 pounds. Not just so I can wear those nice clothes that I can't wear right now. I need to lose those 20 pounds for health reasons. So far, here we are at the end of January, and I've lost an ounce and a half. I am straining against the oars. Do you know what? I absolutely refuse to give up. I absolutely will not. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep trying to eat right, quit being a pig, get myself under control. I'm not going to give up. I refuse to. I believe God wants me to do it. By the grace of God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep straining at the oars, doing what I know to do. That's what we do, church. We don't give up. We keep doing what we believe God would have us to do. Sometimes it's a struggle. In between the miracles and the breakthroughs, it's almost always a struggle. But you got to keep rowing. You keep praying. You keep reading your Bible. You keep setting aside a time to worship. You know, if you can't be at church for the worship service, you still got to have a time set aside to worship. You don't just not worship God. Amen. Keep teaching your kids to serve the Lord. You got adult children that are not serving the Lord, keep praying for them. Keep encouraging them. You know, that may be all that you can do, but you pray for them and you encourage them. You don't give up. You just stay at it. May look like it's not working, you keep doing it. See, keep working for the Lord. Keep doing that small group. Almost every small group leader at some point has to just strain at the oars. They just keep doing it because it's not always, you know, that overnight you got a big, huge crowd of people. Sometimes you just got to be faithful to keep doing what God said to do. Keep praising the Lord. Amen. You just keep praising Him. Even when you don't feel like it, you keep praising Him. And you keep telling others what God has done for you. You see, there's a thousand different things that we could talk about. And so my finances aren't doing good. But you know what? You keep going to work. You keep doing a good job. You keep giving to God, doing that part. And you just keep believing God and trusting God. Sometimes it seems like you're not getting anywhere. But you just wait on the Lord because He's going to work it out. The Apostle Paul had ministered to the Thessalonians and he wanted to go back there, but listen to what he said, 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. One of the things that I really pick up when I read about the Apostle Paul in the scripture is this guy was super bullheaded. He knew how to persevere. But he says to the Thessalonians here, he says, time and again we wanted to come, but Satan hindered us. And I'm going to say it again, you see, we shouldn't be surprised when Satan hinders us. When he is fighting against us, when it seems like we're not getting anywhere, we need to know this, that Satan is real. You see, people get disillusioned and discouraged because they felt like, you know what? I'm out here trying to do what God wants me to do. Here I am. You know, I'm trying to be a good Christian, trying to obey God, and not, this is so hard. Well, let me tell you what part of that equation is. You have an adversary. Let me tell you what the other part of that equation is. You just keep doing what the Lord told you to do, you win. Because He is no match for our God. Our God always keeps His word. You keep your promises. We sing it tonight. He always does what He says He will do. Sometimes seems like all hell breaks loose against us. You know why? Because all hell is against us. But even the gates of hell can't stop us. Amen. You see, now just think about the disciples. They're out there in the middle of the lake in the dark and they're straining at rowing. They're doing their best. They're trying and trying. Where is Jesus? Where's Jesus? He's up on the mountain and He's praying. I want you to know when Jesus is praying for you, you're going to be all right. And here's the thing. You see, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now. He's not just up on a mountain watching. He's looking down from heaven and He sees us. And the Bible says that He is ever interceding. You need to know when you're straining and it seems like you're not getting anywhere and you're just trying and trying and trying, your Savior, He's praying for you. He hasn't forgotten you. He didn't forsake you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's still with you. Even in the dark, He could see them straining, and He sees us in our struggle and our battle. So don't wonder where Jesus is. He's with us by His Spirit, but He's always at the right hand of the Father praying for our victory. That's why the gates of hell can't stop you. So these disciples, you know, a lot of the time they just seem like, I don't know, they didn't get it and they didn't really follow through sometimes, but these guys were absolutely doing what they were supposed to be doing at that time. He said, go to the other side. And I believe with all their might, they were trying to get to the other side. And that needs to be our attitude. To the best of my ability, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to give it my best. Give it 100%. What's the option? Go back? Drift? Drift. That's what a lot of people do. They said, this is hard. And they pull their oars in and they just drift. But I'm going to tell you the truth. You won't like where you end up. You got to keep doing what God told you to do. If you've never rowed or paddled a boat, it might be hard for you to really relate to this, but I used to have a little John boat that I used to fish on a pond. And, you know, when it's nice and calm, it's easy to paddle that little John boat around on the pond. But you get about a 20-mile-an-hour wind or 25, and you say, well, you know what, I'm going to go to the other side of the pond over there. And you start paddling, and it's like you're not even moving. You can stop. But what happens immediately is the boat gets blown around and now it's heading into the brush. Or you can turn back around and keep paddling and keep paddling and you'll finally get there. But I just want you to understand that a lot of the time in our walk with God and our life here on this earth, that's the way it is. We're paddling into the wind sometimes, but we can't just drift. We got to keep going. Stay in the words. Keep praying. Straining at the oars. Boy, that's popular preaching. That just sounds like hard work. Sometimes it's hard work. I don't know whoever came up with this garbage that Christianity was just supposed to be put your feet up and la, 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 praise the Lord. That's not in the Bible. We work for the Lord. Amen. Not just the preacher. We all are supposed to do the work of the ministry. Amen. But not even just that. Even in taking care of our family and, you know, our job, whatever else we do. Sometimes there's work involved, that four-letter word. But if he said, go to the other side, then with all our might, we go to the other side. You don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. Don't stop trying. Don't stop fighting the fight of faith. Now, as I said, this story is in John's gospel also. And he tells a little bit differently than Mark did. Gives us a few details that weren't in Mark's gospel. In John's gospel, this also happens. It's recorded right after the feeding of the 5,000, same as Mark. But in John 6, 16 through 21, therefore when Jesus perceived they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, you see, in John's gospel, he talks about this. These people, after he feeds this 5,000 and they see this miracle, they're ready to make him their king. Jesus was never political. He wanted no part of this. His kingdom is not of this world. He departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over to the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, They saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at land where they were going. Jesus comes to them walking on the water, and at first they're afraid. They didn't realize it was him. But he gets into the boat, and the battle's over. The struggle is over when he steps into the boat. Immediately. You know, it wasn't just that the wind ceased, as it says in Mark's gospel, but immediately they were where they were going. You know, sometimes the Lord gives us the strength to just keep rowing and keep rowing until we eventually get to where we're supposed to be. But sometimes he just comes and he steps into the boat. And all of a sudden, this breakthrough, this healing happens. You get a raise at work. All of a sudden, you know, people start coming to your small group. All of a sudden, that kid you've been praying for shows up at church and gets right with God. I'm just telling you, when Jesus steps into the boat, but it happens when we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. We keep rowing, trusting the Lord that he'll make it work. I mean, if you're believing for a healing, salvation for somebody, a deliverance, victory in your home, keep rowing and God will show up. Don't give up on your goals. Jesus may step into your boat at any time. Sometimes it just happens in a moment. He sees us praying. He sees us struggling. And he steps in. Keep rowing. Don't drift. Persevere. Sometimes we might not realize that we started drifting. I read a story about a guy that got on a raft at the beach, at the ocean, and he went to sleep on the raft. And by the time he woke up, he could barely see the shoreline in the distance. And I want to tell you, if he hadn't woken up when he did, he wouldn't even have known which way to go. That's what happens to some people. They just drift until they've lost their way. They don't even know how to get back. And a lot of the time it happens just a little. That's the way drift works. Just a little bit and a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. Let me tell you how people get out of church. They miss once. And then they miss again. A little later they miss again. Drift. Can happen to your prayer life. It happens to a whole lot of people who used to work for the Lord. That's what they say. I used to do this. What are you doing now? I'll never forget one of the most gifted people, anointed people I've ever known. Having a conversation with them one night, and they weren't involved in anything anymore. And they were so gifted to speak the word, to lead worship, and just so many ways they were anointed and gifted, and I'd seen God use them, but it broke my heart, and I finally said to him, "What are you doing? I mean, what are you doing?" They just drifted until they weren't doing anything. And I just want to encourage you tonight, if you found yourself that you've drifted in some areas, whether it's in ministry or you've drifted in your prayer life or you've drifted in being used of God to share your story with other people, whatever it might be, you wake up and you realize that you've drifted, you need to get to straining at the oars. Get back in where you belong. Get busy for the work of the Lord, doing what you're supposed to do. And Jesus, he can step into your boat. But if we're doing anything at all, we got to persevere. You know, it's talked about over and over and over in the scripture. In Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us we got to run our race with perseverance. We can't just run for a little while. It's not a sprint. No, the Christian life is a marathon. You got to keep going, and you got to throw off the things that would hinder you. I want to close with these two verses from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36. He says, "Do not throw away your confidence." Our confidence is in God. "Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. He is not slack concerning his promises." Sometimes he doesn't do things on our schedule. Almost never on my schedule. And yet he's always on time. His timing is perfect. His ways are higher than our ways. He knows what he's doing. And sometimes, you see, what we don't get, what we don't understand, we just want it to be easy. But it is in the persevering, it is in that straining at the oars, that he is doing a great work in us. He's forming and shaping our character, making us who we need to be. And he's way more concerned about our character than our comfort. He knows. He knows what we need. And I'm telling you, he can give you the strength and he can step into your boat anytime, but he knows what he's doing and you need to trust him. You don't throw away your confidence. Listen, it will be richly rewarded, but you got to persevere so that after you've done the will of God, and there it is, you see, after we've done what we're supposed to, then we're going to receive what he's promised. Some of it, sometimes it comes easy. And some of it isn't. Some of it's going to try you. Don't drift. Do what you know to do. Anybody feel like you're straining against the oars? I hope so. I hope some of you, you're right there in the middle of it. It'll come to you. If you're not there now, I'm telling you, if you're going to do something for God, it'll come to you. There's going to be times when you just got to keep doing what you know to do. Paddling that John boat and not going anywhere. Persevere. Don't give up. I want you to stand with me.